Good evening, glory. Hallelujah to you. What the heck's your story and what's going through you? This is the glorified version of a bass fishing talk show. I'm Pat Renwick. Give it up for yourself. Bass Galaxy, it's Wednesday night. Yes. Sure is, and we're back. We hope you had a good Thanksgiving time. Yeah, we sure did, giving thanks. And we're back. We're back to do things properly here in the Bass Galaxy, and we are pretty excited because speaking of proper, tonight we have the one and only proper bassin' man, Lee Livesey, returning to the Straight Cast Show tonight. Glorified version of the Bassin' Talk Show. Yes, a little under the weather. I'm getting the wheels turning here. That's a cafe cone leche. All right, here we go. Basically, the deal tonight is let's have a good time. It's Wednesday night in the Bass Fishing Galaxy. And of course, as always, we have some fun and some good stuff for you, the Bass Galaxy, over on the Facebook chat board with old Rock and Shoal Fantasy. Give it up for Rock and Shoal. That's right, J.R. Ewing, working the chat over there. And tonight, we have a bunch of things going on. It's wild AF, let me tell you. First off, we're giving away, you see me every week here and many of the other tin cup anglers drinking out of the old tin cup right here. You see it on the Stray Cash Show. We're giving away two tin cups tonight on the like and share contest courtesy of Luke Foley and Tin Cup Whiskey. Like, that's two genuine, authentic tin cup whiskey. Right. Get this. Also, because Lee is coming on, and by the way, some very sneaky special guests coming on tonight. Give it up for sneaky special guests right now. One's name rhymes with Ben Milliken. And the other's name rhymes with Zach and Art. Won't give it up exactly who they are. But they're coming on. And in honor of that, we're giving away a pair of Waterland sunglasses tonight. Like and share the live Facebook page. Gosh darn easy. And that's not it. Impulse Lithium swag bag, courtesy of Darlene and Bill Weidler over at Impulse Lithium. This leads on Team Impulse. That's three like and share prizes tonight. Easy as can be. Take your share off of privates. We're going to pick it at the end of the show. And Lee's going to announce some winners. And Ben's going to announce some winners. We're going to have a good old time at the end of the deal. Hey, tonight's White River Knife. Before I get into this, ladies and gentlemen, the most amazing producer in the Bass Galaxy, give it up for the one and only Andrew Ellenberger. He's a ginger ninja. He's my ginger ninja. Ginge, I can't see you. Where are you? There you are. Ginge, I'm lonely when you're at home and I'm here in the studio by myself. Have you ever seen the movie King of Comedy, Andy?
Yeah.
I feel like the King of Comedy in my... That's what's going on right now. But how are you, Andy?
Good. How are you?
Good. I got some kind of bug. I don't know.
I'm hoping you feel better, bud.
Yeah, I'm still running and doing things, but...
Stay over here.
It attacks me at night like a vampire. I don't know. Yeah. What's going on? But Ginge, today is a pretty cool day here because our bud Lee Livesey's coming back to the show. You know what I mean?
Always a good time.
Talk about a Texas outlaw. That's Lee. That's Lee. Hey, Ginge, tonight, 6-inch White River knives.
Fillet
knife. Yeah. You know, I know. You know who snatched one of these? Tommy Billings is about to skin a deer
with one of these.
I mean, Jake is. Yeah, Jake. White River Knives / tray right there. This is the 6-inch fillet. It is a handcrafted piece of beauty. Look at it right there. Yeah, I like it. Gingy, OmniaFishing.com. I caught you shopping there over the Black Friday doorbuster specials. And I know you're... continuing to get your I like your holiday music in the background, Ginge. Yeah, you're window shopping, aren't you? Do you still make lists for yourself, Ginge?
No. Well, I make a lot of carts. Yeah.
Yeah, you put carts in on different various. Yeah,
a lot of carts going.
Yeah, so you on Omnia, you have like a soft plastics cart in section, and then you have like it's all kinds of wish lists. You like you've been making carts ever since I met you.
Yeah.
And it's Christmas time's a perfect time to make a card, isn't it?
Why not?
Oh goodness! Hey, Ginge, I'm ready for Christmas. We got a big Christmas special next week. We got the cast of BASS on. Yeah, that's a show. BASS cast is going. And week after that is Stray Cast Christmas special with it's called A Very Stray Cast Christmas with Mark Zona. So that's pretty interesting. Gingy, where's our whiskey gypsy? Where is he at? Where's the gyps?
I don't know what he's got going on. There he is.
Is he in Texas too? Oh, there he is.
Hey.
What's going on? Hey, remember when we were in Texas at that Roadhouse honky tonk together?
That was awesome.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
You sold all the liquor in Texas.
Oh, yeah, I did do that.
You did sell every at the Bassmaster Classic in Texas. You sold all the liquor.
Yeah, we sold all the tin cup in the town.
Yeah, it's gone.
There was no more.
Terminado.
Uh-huh.
Who's got the BDE, Luke Foley? Who's got the Bass Dictated Energy? That's you. Where are you at today, Gypsy? Where are you at?
We're at Monterey. Courtney's here. Say hi.
Hey, Court. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah, old Robertson got me in trouble with her. He did that post about doing a pedicure.
Oh.
I said, don't knock it till you try it. So, of course, she picked up on that. And I might have to do that because I got Robertson on one side and her on the other leaning on me to get a pedicure. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
I said, now, my bad. I didn't read the whole post. I thought that was for a waxing is what.
No, was. No, not.
It was a bleaching waxing.
That's what you and Seth are talking about. No, no, he's got his feet in that bucket. That's a pedicure, Pat. Come on.
Oh, gotcha. Man. Okay. Oh, okay. That's what it is. No. The old pedicure. You get him in there. Yeah. Keep it on the deck. You know what I mean? Keep it on the deck for the 24th season.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
That's a great Christmas present. I hear Courtney getting wild back there at the bar, too.
We're in a very busy account this season.
Foley, you are literally out every night. Like, every night you were out doing Whiskey Gypsy stuff.
Hey, it's the life. What are you going to do?
It's a mad world. And for those that don't know, Luke Foley and Tin Cup Whiskey every Wednesday night here on the Stray Cast Show bring you the Tin Cup Whiskey Word of the Week. And every time you hear that word, you take a little sippy. It can be a nice black coffee tonight like I'm on here. It could be a Coca-Cola, or it could be, of course, world-famous official brown liquor of bass fishing, Tin Cup Mountain Whiskey. Luke, what is the Tin Cup Whiskey Word of the Week today?
Well, with the gentleman we have coming on tonight, we're going to go with the word Texas.
We're going with Texas.
Yeah, that is where he's from. And I've been drinking with him one night, and he's an animal.
Yeah. Yeah, he's from Texas.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah.
I saw him buy every drink in the bar one night.
Lee is generous, but Lee's very together. He's at the bar. He's just like he is on the lake. He's silent.
Works hard, play hard.
Yeah, silent but deadly. And when he strikes, he strikes. You know what I mean? So, folks, let's reiterate. Three like and shares tonight. We got the, I'm giving away two of these Tin Cup Mountain Whiskey tin cups. That's everybody's asking for these things, folks. So we're giving away.
I'll see what I can do.
I got them right here. What do you mean?
Okay.
I got two of them right here. Yeah. We have the Waterland sunglass giveaway and the Impulse Lithium battery swag bag. So like and share the live Facebook feed. And Foles, you're even eligible for two of those.
That's awesome.
There it is. We're going to draw at the end the winner. Hey, let's say we get this show on the road and get a little Texas toast going, Foles.
Sounds good. I'm probably going to come see you next week, Pat.
Okay, I will see you then.
All right, very good. Peace.
Hey,
I feel better.
Thank you. Coles, thanks for all you do for bass fishing, and thank you, Tin Cup Whiskey, for all you do. Bass fishing. Yeah, put the power pulse down. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
There's a moment when you're faced with a challenge, and just solving the problem isn't good enough. Even if that means breaking the rules and shredding apart conventional ways of thinking, all in the name of creating something truly remarkable. With this much control at its command, we didn't stop with just one. We created two incredible trolling motors. Introducing the new PowerPole Move Brushless Trolling Motor.
This is the mountain, and this is Mountain Whiskey. Unspoiled, untamed, forever wild. There's no safety net, no way down. Up here, it's just man and the mountain and his tin cup. Tin Cup Whiskey. Mountain Whiskey.
Want to know the difference between power bait and other soft plastics? Ask the fish. Berkeley scientists have thousands of flavors tested on thousands of fish. Natural, man-made, every bait that's ever hit the water. No matter the shape, size, or color, PowerBait is the only one that is scientifically proven. Fish bite and will not let go.
Realize your boat's potential with outboard performance accessories that improve the handling, speed, and economy of your boat. Find your perfect accessory from Bob's Machine.
Welcome back. Make no mistakes, this is the glorified version of a Bassin Talk Show. We're extremely proud at this moment to bring to you Bass Galaxy. Back to the Stray Cast Show, the one and only Bassmaster Elite Series champion in Texas. It's Lee Lipsey. Yeah, bud.
What's going on?
Now it's a party, dude.
It's good, man. What's going on?
Nothing. It's just a Wednesday night here at Stray Cast. I'm a little under the weather. I got a fever going on right now. I got not a fever from our cowbell. I got a little bit of fever going on. So thank God you're on the other end of the planet right now.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's sick right now.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely got the fever for bassing. And I know you got the fever for bassing, and that's why you're here. I mean, well, you and I talked a little earlier on the phone, Lee, and this is a cool time of year for Stray Cast because Andy and I, we book people on the show we want to talk to. And and we're like, man, we need to talk to Lee. Cheers, Lee. Cheers. Texas. Tonight's Tin Cup Word of the Week is Texas, by the way. And we'll make it the Busch Light word of the week as well. How's that?
Yeah.
Hey, but I mean, the deal is, man, we like to talk to proper bassin' brethren this time of year. And you're a proper bassin' man. Do you consider yourself a proper bassin' man?
I do, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, some of the attributes of a proper bassin' man or the company you keep, you know, and you keep good company.
Oh, yeah.
The other attributes are, you're a family man. Every time I talk to you, you're talking about Taryn and Lane every time, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
if you hear Bingo was his name, in the background, that's what's going down right now.
And every time I talk to you, that word bass pops up because you got the BDE, the bass dictated energy, bass centered, Lee Lipsey.
That's it.
Proper bassing man, dude.
Yeah, what so, you been up? I ain't heard from you.
Nah, man. It's just been winter time here in Chicago. You know, right? I mean, I've been laying low and I've been down since Thanksgiving. We had a big Thanksgiving special, and then I got some kind of bug, and I've been laying low, and I think I'm going bassing Friday. Hopefully going bassing Friday, but I don't know.
Yes.
We'll see. Enough about me, man. This is about you. I got to tell you something. One time you told me.
Oh, God.
one time you told me that. Let me back up a minute. Let me preface here. When it comes to bass fishing, you are one of the most simplistic bass fishermen there are. And I mean that in the most flattering, kindest way. You keep it simple and you execute properly. Like the song Simple Man by Skynyrd could be about you, Lee. I mean, when it comes to bassing, right?
It's pretty simple on my end.
Yeah.
That's all aspects of life, though. That's not just bassing.
We like that about you. We definitely like that about you. But here's what puzzles me. One time you told me that your biggest weakness was knowing when to just go bassing. Just to go bassing. Like you said, I think that what that really meant was like, you know, not think about it and just go fishing instead of focusing too much on the derb. Is that what that meant?
It probably meant that I'll get stuck on one thing in my head that I think I can win on or do really good on, you know, whatever it is. And instead of changing baits, changing areas, changing techniques or something, I will beat it to death and make it work.
Is my problem. Kick the dead horse until it works.
I have that problem. I think I can always make it work till the last second. And that is definitely a problem.
A lot of proppers have that problem, but here's what confuses me about it. Like that's a weird thing coming from a fisherman that has such a simple approach. And all of your victories, I mean, think about them. The victories were very simplistic victories. I mean, major accomplishments, not, you know, saying that, but you know what I mean? The approach was very simplistic.
Yeah, and most of them really are, if you think about it. You rarely ever see a guy win with 10 different things going on or whatever it is, or changing a bunch of areas. You know, running a pattern is great to do good and be consistent and be a great angler, but you usually see guys winning with a couple rods, couple baits, couple techniques, couple areas, you know, keeping it pretty – most of the time. I'm not saying all the time, but usually it's one with a couple rods out on a couple spots most of the time.
And it's when the wheels come off is when the chaos happens, right? I mean, when in our minds as bass fishermen, and I have to imagine, especially you as a professional bass fisherman, when the wheels start turning, they really start turning on the water.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a big spin out guy. Like I said, my downfall, usually when I screw up, it's because I wouldn't quit and go do something else. You know, I can look back at my three bad events this year, or you know, I had two really bad ones. I think they were back to back, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too stubborn, got stuck in a couple of areas and knew I could make it work there, or I thought I could make it work there and wouldn't leave and kept pushing it and had my two worst finishes of the year when I could have just laid up and went back where I knew was decent and probably done pretty good. But, you know, I thought I could win or, you know, top 10, whatever it was out of some areas doing some certain things, you know, that
be specific. Give me an example. So I understand a little better.
Lay Lake, was my worst, might've been my worst finish of my career, honestly, this year. And maybe not, but it had to been close. I think I was in the 70s or 80s. I went to the south end of the lake and, you know, I'm not even going to say I got out of my wheelhouse because I like fishing offshore just as well. You just see me fishing shallow a bunch. You know, I've made my hay in the past fishing offshore. I just act like I don't know how to fish offshore.
Sandbagger.
And I was catching big, big spotted bass offshore, you know, fairly deep, not real deep, but just offshore, you know, structure and stuff. And I mean, I was catching like some 3¾, 4-pound spots and a bunch of there in big groups. And I had a bunch of schools, you know, plenty, you know, 10 to 15 schools a spot. And they weren't all big, but, you know, I thought I could go down there and catch 12 pounds, which was a great bag there, or 18, 19, you know, if it all went right. And I don't know what happened. I brought Caleb down there and showed him what was going on. And the first school he found, he caught like a 4-pounder on. And there was a bunch of them there. And we both just got sucked up into it. And both of us were like mid-pack the first day, but caught a bunch. But Caleb had been doing really crappy all year. And I told him, I said, man, I don't think you can get back up enough to get in the classic if you go back down there again on the second day. You know, I was really good. I was in the top 6 or 7 in AOI at this point.
You're right.
I said, man, I think, you know, I mean, I know it was cool down there and we're both like right out of the cut, but I think you need to come up here and do something else. And he went and did something else the next day, made the right decision and jumped back up, caught a big giant bag the next day and, you know, made the cut, got the points, got his 10 grand. And I went back down there like an idiot and you know, made my first little run of them and it wasn't happening. Like they all disappeared. But instead of leaving and going doing something else, I go do it again and again. And I didn't even weigh a limit. I think I weighed 4 bass the second day. When we probably caught 50 apiece the first day down there, I have no idea what happened to him.
So what was the difference there that you didn't click to be get the hell out of here and do something else where it does another time?
That did click 1,000,000,000 times through my mind. It clicked, get the hell out of here, leave, idiot. You know, it's not happening, you know, go back and it wasn't like I had a bunch of fish somewhere else, but you know, I knew what to go do. Just go fish by the ramp in that gator grass like Caleb did. And a bunch of the guys that did good did, but you know, that's my downfall. A couple times a year, I'd be like, nope, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to hit a school and I'm going to catch 15, 16 pounds and 5 casts and it'll all be okay. But that's everybody. It's not just me. So
it's almost like eating a favorite dish or food or dessert or something that you know is going to really make you sick and upset your stomach, but you're going to do it anyway. You know?
Oh yeah. Now there's times when you just like miss stuff. Like the next week you'd be like, man, that water cleared up in there. I should have been throwing a jig on those docks instead of a chatterbait, you know, like they were short, you know, you don't realize some stuff until afterwards, you know, or till it's too late. But then sometimes you just make bad decisions on the water and get your ass handed to you.
Well, I mean, like, take, for example, your victory, your opens victory at Ross Barnett. That was a junkin derb. Like, wasn't it? Didn't you win that on?
The day I caught the big giant bag, I caught them all off the same spot. I never moved my boat. I caught those all on a Carolina rig lizard, on a net bait lizard. Old school Carolina
rig. Yeah.
I could have caught 28 pounds. My co-angler caught a 6, a 5 and another 4 something. And I had 25 something off of one spot. But after that, yes, it was a junking deal. I think I caught one there the next day on that spot and one on that spot the final day, but everything else was one swim jig and one frogging, one flipping, one chatterbait, you know, all shallow, just junk fishing.
Yeah. And I forgot about the old school Carolina rig in the huge bag. That's awesome too. And same thing with Chick. That was kind of like a junkin' derb. So you had to click in there, do different things.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, when I say that I get stuck on one little deal, that's how you win too. Like I said, like a chicken. it was tough at Chick. We all knew it was tough. There was a lot of guys that fished around me at Chickamauga frogging, you know, it's about all you could do in that thick of grass. And I was so stubborn and I had a bad year that year, going into those final two events. And I was like, you know, I'm going to keep a frog in my hand the whole entire time, whether I don't have anything with 20 minutes to go, because I know how good you can get quick doing that. And sometimes being stubborn helps you out.
And you were also throwing that little, it's coming to me now. You had a little paddle tail deal going, like a little swim bait deal on a fish head.
Yeah.
Didn't you? It was like the old Doug Hannon snake head.
We don't talk about that bait.
Oh, sorry. Well, we are tonight.
Yeah, that's
your shirt, by the way. The Bill Dance shirt is outstanding.
Oh yeah. We got the Bill going from Mossy Oak.
For those listening on the podcast tomorrow, Lee is modeling an amazing Mossy Oak Bill Dance t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. But tell us about that bait, man. I mean, you're the one that said you can't talk about it, so now we got to talk about it.
And it's nothing crazy. It's actually, it was a net bait, big spanky. It's just a swim bait, a soft swim bait. But the deal was, it's on a head that my buddy Scott from Hog Farmer makes. It's just it's just a pretty much an EWG hook, but it's got a head on it that kind of floats and keeps grass off of it. And I was just straight reeling it on the edges of grass and stuff.
Is that a sneaky deal for you still?
When you have really, really, really smart fish in shallow grass or grass that's too thick to really throw anything else in, it is actually a deal. But it's you know, very niche based for sure.
There, when I was a kid, you know who Doug Hannon, the bass professor, remember Doug Hannon?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He used to have a Burke snakehead. It was like a big, yeah, remember that deal? It was like an 8-aught hook.
Yeah, I remember it.
Gosh, yeah, you being from Texas, you were probably catching 14s on it. But that's kind of what it is. But it's a smaller version of that, and then it goes on just like a boot tail dipper type deal.
Yep, any kind of little swim bait. Or you could throw a lizard on it, snake, whatever. You could throw any plastic on it.
And then you just winding it on braid, straight braid?
Yeah, just straight braid. Those fish were so smart in that grass at Chickamauga, which every one of our anglers will say that. That's why you saw me working that frog so fast. It's because they were smart. But they're eating little bitty shad on all those outside deeper mats. They were eating little bitty, like that year's threadfin shad. So they would not touch a frog. But every now and then, they were schooling everywhere in that grass. Not everywhere, but they were schooling a bunch. So those fish on the outside edge are little sporadic patches. I could get them to eat that every now and then. But the fish that were way back in those thicker mats, which was 99.9% of the fish that I weighed in, they were eating brim. And they were eating a little bit bigger bait because it was a lot shallower back there. Those shad were just on that deeper stuff. So if I could get those fish to react to my frog, I could catch them and they were bigger.
Nice. Is Hog Farmer still making that head?
I'm sure. I'm not with Scott anymore.
Okay.
He makes great stuff. Still friends with Scott and everybody there. Great, great company. I'm not sure if he's making it, but I'm sure he is. He always has.
Nice. The or I'm going on eBay and getting some of the Doug Hannon ones. That's what I think. Yeah. find some of it. Hey, now one thing I never got to ask you about on the last show we did was the whole saltwater spook deal at Lake Fork. And what was the deal with picking that particular bait? Is it just a confidence lure? Do you think it's actually better? What was the deal at the time?
No, it's just the a bigger spook. Just what I've always thrown. It wasn't any components or anything like that. Obviously, I replaced all the hooks, Tamagotchi stuff, but that's just what we throw in Texas. Pretty much everybody around here, that was a big walking topwater like that, the bigger spook style baits like that.
Yeah. And I know you guys over at Sixth Sense came up with some gigantors as well now. Like obnoxiously big topwater baits.
Yeah, we need to hit the right tournament. We're going to showcase some things for sure.
You got a couple things up your sleeves, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, but go ahead, Lee.
It's always like that. You make a bait, and then they set up the tournaments totally opposite from when you need a bait niche.
Hey, but you never know.
Oh, it'll happen.
You just never know when it's going to happen.
I know they eat it in Florida too, and we have two tournaments in April this year in Florida.
So. Dude, the schedule's setting up for you. We're going to talk about that a little later, but
as long as everybody goes out there in live scopes and follows Milliken around, then me and Cox will be just fine up on the back.
Oh my goodness, Benny's coming on a little later. We got a couple things to talk to him about too. But you said there's something that and that's let me rephrase this. There's something that we always know, Lee, as bass fishermen, okay? And one of the things is we always know the last time we caught a bass, right? Because when we, when you go for a while, go ahead.
I might not.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't. It's been a while.
Gosh dang. You don't. So you don't remember the last time you caught a bass?
I do. It's just been a while.
Okay. And then the other thing that a bassin' man always remembers is when he gets a little loving, right? I mean, those are two things a bass man always remembers.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm not going to ask you about the loving, but when's the last time you caught a bass? You said it's been a while. See, because a yearning starts. It's I could tell.
So I was trying to think the last day I filmed. I filmed with Tackladic on some video stuff at a little power plant lake by my house called Brandy Branch. Okay. That was the last time I caught a bass.
When was that?
A couple weeks ago.
Dang. It's like me. But I'm in Chicago. You're in Texas. What, have you been hunting?
Yeah, I've been babysitting, playing daddy daycare, and I've been hunting. I filmed some with Mossy Oak and Hook and Nomad up in Oklahoma. And honestly, I've been at the house with Lane and doing contract negotiations and talking to everybody that wants me to do a little bit more next year and preparing to honestly fish the least amount I've ever fished in my life this year.
Wow.
And I'm not mad at it. I just have been home with Lane. Sure. as much as I can be, and I've had fun with it. So
that's a proper bassin' man.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. I've been able to be with her pretty much every day I'm home. So it's been fun, you know. And I got a little land that I bought after I won a couple of tournaments. I've been going out there and working and hunting a little bit and playing with Lane. Like, I'm about to jump back into it. I got to go hunting, or I get to go hunting this weekend with Express and Mossy Oak, some people like that up in Arkansas. Then I'm going with my buddy JT up in on my lease in Kansas next week when I'm done. And after that, it's get the poles out, and my Express X21 will be in, and I'll get it rigged out with all my Johnson Outdoors, Hummingbird, Minn Kota stuff. And I'm going to fish a whole bunch between there and go time. So
on the Express.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you're aluminum brigade.
I am 10 rig as it is.
Yes, bud. I like. Are you?
Can't wait to get it. It's a pretty cool boat. I'm ready to showcase what it can do and show it off to everybody.
You going to do some wild stuff?
It's a good little boat to jump up and do some stuff. So
because you already do wild stuff on the. I mean, cool stuff on the water. Like, everybody remembers your Guns N' Roses Welcome to the Jungle Sabine River video, right?
There's still grown men fighting me every day on that. Half of them think I killed 40 kayakers on that run. So it was
clear there was no markers up that day.
No, I don't think there's ever been a kayaker in that canal. It's about as remote as you can possibly get.
It's an awesome video.
Yeah.
And now with the Express, you can go over things.
There was a bunch of dead cows in that canal. I could ramp the cows now.
It's easier now with the aluminum boat. And my favorite thing about aluminum boat is they get up like a jet ski. I mean, boom on pad. LFG. Yeah.
Good hole shots in those Expresses.
100%, man. Hey, how do you feel about the state of bass fishing this day and age? It seems a lot of BS going on, isn't there? How do you feel about it?
I know there's a bunch of stuff going on with Major League Fishing right now that looks bad as an angler, but besides that, I think it's great. I think bass is doing great. I think our anglers that are positive are doing great. I think there's a lot of anglers that are making a lot of money and a very, very good living bass fishing. And not just anglers, businesses and everything else as well.
Yeah, and I like your attitude, and I think that you nailed it right there, because that's my response. They're looking at the glass half full or half empty. You know what I mean? It's not like there's plenty to be had for hunters and gatherers, if you know what I mean.
It's, if you want to work, you can make money. There ain't no doubt about it. And I mean, I know the whole life scope crap is going on, but, and I don't like that at all, but I'll use it and I'm good with it. Trust me.
I mean, you have to be, and exactly, it's part of the game.
It's just a tool. You got to know when to use it or know when you want to use it as an angler and shut up on the other side of it. So everything is good on my end, man. It's all gravy. I see all the negativity, but it's, and I'm not going to sit here and talk shit about anybody at all, but it's usually the guys that are doing bad. And that could have been me very easily, or guys doing better, guys that aren't hustling, you know, up instead of making podcasts about being broke. Why don't you call companies and talk to them about how you can work for them and do work for them instead. So it's always going to be like that, man. It's just a lot of people are trying to get views off of it right now is the problem.
Yeah. That's the part. It's a weird time in bass fishing. And it's all like we talked about at the beginning of the show. It's if you're bass centered and your mind focus is the fish, that kind of stuff doesn't seem to happen as much. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree. You know, I figure, you know, yeah, and I did the Mercer's podcast the other day, and me and Mercer talked about it, and I don't even want to get into that. There's a lot of negative stuff going on right now, and I'm not one of those at all. I can't get into the clickbait stuff and fight it. Like Ben will get on a podcast and fight somebody, and I can't do it.
Bar fights. No, I hear you. And dude, it's like, you know, that's one of the reasons we had you here today is we did a Thanksgiving special about the positivity and bass fishing, and we're continuing that thought train. And it's like, who fits that? And it's Lee, because you honestly, in your own way, you kind of give zero F's about what's going on the perimeter, and you just keep your head down and do what you're supposed to do.
I mean, if you're working and you have good companies that support you and you support them, and I mean, it's easy to go to work and get paid. You know, we don't get paid off of what we make fishing. You know, we make all of our living off of sponsors, and anything you make besides that, you're just, you know, getting some beer money, but it's pretty easy. I mean, we have to work as anglers. We can't just show up and fish anymore. It's not 1994, you know, it's
unless you win everything.
Nobody can. Nobody has.
It's tough.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, you know.
Well, enough about the negative then. What's your favorite thing about the sport of bass fishing in present tense? Your favorite thing about the sport right now, Lee?
It's that. It's the negative stuff too. It's the new youth. It's evolving. It's the forward facing sonar and younger. I mean, every guy that I think Ben was the oldest guy that qualified this year, and I may be totally wrong with that, but I mean, there's a whole new youth movement. But at the same time, we got Rick Klun fishing with us, and I fished with Larry Nixon and David Fritz last year. And
sure,
it's a lot.
Imagine if they were one person, Larry Fritz, we'd all be in trouble.
I think I would do. Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. I might do Rick Nixon, but
Rick Nixon.
No, it's Nixon. It's everything, man. I'm just a outdoors junkie, redneck, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I like to bass fish, you know, kind of on the hackney end of that spectrum. I just like to fish.
So your favorite thing about bass fishing right now is it's all over the place. There's everything going on.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's just fishing. It's just bass fishing. Yeah. You know, I love to travel. I love to see new places. I love to break lakes down and all that, but it's just bass fishing. You know, you see guys winning with live scope in 30 foot of water, and you see, I think three out of my four bass trophies beside me came with my trolling motor out of the water most of the time.
Yeah. Buried. Yeah.
Cox is still winning. Aluminum boats have won the last two classics and everywhere in between. I mean, everybody has a gripe about something, but it's just bass fishing. It's great right now.
So in 24, if you have to make a prediction about the Bassmaster Elite Series, there's 10 events, including the classic, right? Give me a percentage of which ones you think will be won with electronics, or you know what I mean, the live scope, or ones that'll be won traditionally.
Let me look at the schedule.
Okay. Well, you're starting off in Tejas. I think you know that.
So
then you go to your favorite Lake Grand.
I'm gonna say that 3, 4, 6 of the 10 get one with live scope.
6 of the 10. So over 50% of the events.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, every smallmouth tournament is going to get one with it. Smith Lake is going to get one with it.
Okay.
And I was just throwing a couple more in there just to be nice.
just for the odds.
It could be all of them. I mean, Fork and Toledo could get one with it. Grand could get one with it. Both Florida's good. It could be 10 for 10. I hope it's not, you know, so we'll see.
And that's based on a feeling. That's a feeling that you have right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it. And I mean, bass fishing's all about feelings, right?
Decisions.
Feelings and decisions. Yeah. And so a lot of champions that we've had on this show, and you have 3 old blues and an opens trophy. And during those victories, do you ever get that feeling? Like, do you know that that's your, does it hit you? I mean, I've seen the emotions hit you, but is it something you know is going to happen?
Not usually not before or the first day, but like Chickamauga, I remember the second day I felt it. Like, and then obviously that was my first one, but I remember like telling people, it's like, I think I'm going to win this thing. And it wasn't because I had all these fish or something, you know, it just felt weird. And I think I talked about it on live and probably on your podcast when I got done, but yeah. I felt at that time, I was like, damn, you know, I think I can win this one. And it worked out. I won. The second one, my first one on Fork, I mean, you hear me talking about it going into the final day. Now, I always think, because you're always negative in your own head on other people, but I thought I could catch 40 pounds the final day with what I saw the day before. I thought I had to catch 40 to win, because I figured, you know, somebody, Patrick, Brandon, whoever, Combs, whoever was up there with me in that event, you know, they could have caught 42 very easily, because I know it's Fork. You know, you can catch 40 anywhere. But, you know, I felt that I had a shot because I thought I was going to catch 40 the final day, and I ended up catching 42.
Yeah, 42.
And won. But so I felt it there. Now, the last one I won on Fork, the open I won, never felt it. Never. Really? No. I mean, until I caught 25 pounds the first day on Ross Barnett. Just because that's unheard of, but I did. It was nothing in practice. I caught one fish there, like a 4 pound. I didn't know what was there, you know. I don't have any history there. Didn't know anything, you know. So that one I never felt until it was over, pretty much. And then the next week when I won Fork the second time, I never felt it at all. All my big schools left. I won off of a spot I'd never caught a bass before in my life. I found them there in practice, like never even looked at it in my life before. And I caught a lot of fish elsewhere. You know, I caught 32 pounds in the first 45 minutes, pretty much the first day, but on stuff that I, you know, had history on and figured out. But so some of them you feel, and some of them just happen, you know, it's just your day kind of stuff.
But all those events that you won, you just remembered to go bassing, right? I mean, you overcame your biggest weakness of just remembering to go bassing.
Yep.
So, I mean, with that being said, your weakness is remembering to go fishing. But what's really your weakness? I mean, what's Lee's your real kryptonite, dude?
Redheads and Bush Light.
Simply said. Simply said, man. You were born to fish tournaments. Do you agree with that?
I was born to fish. I don't know about tournaments. That just worked out.
Okay. And what is it? Is it the competitive drive that keeps you in these tournaments? Is it a way to make a living? I mean, what is it?
Well, I mean, before you make it, you know, not being for money or daddy's money or anything like that, you don't think you can ever go do that because you don't have any money or sponsors. And you just, you know, most of us the opens guys, the guys that are fishing weekends, Monday nights, Tuesday nights, whatever, you know, they don't have that money or connection to go fish stuff like that, just like I didn't, you know. And then some of us like me just get lucky and a couple sponsors show up and you go in there and do good, get in, and obviously I've been blessed and had a good career so far, so it just happens that quick. But you know, besides that, you just want to fish, whether you're broke or poor or guiding or fishing tournaments or fishing all night with your buddies, you know, catfishing, crappie fishing, bass fishing, doesn't matter. I just like to fish. So
it's always that drive.
Yeah. I like, it's kind of like athletes is what I always refer to it as. You know, if I was a division coach, you know, I'd rather take a guy that, you know, played basketball, soccer, football, ran track, you know, was an all around athlete in a position compared to a guy that just played football the whole time, you know, and was one dimensional in what he'd learned or what his body had learned from other sports. So it's kind of the same thing in bass fishing. You know, I see the guys that, you know, like Hackney and Christie and guys like that. I mean, them guys are crappie fishing, they're bass fishing, you know, Hackney's running trot lines and
yes.
So much stuff there's a lot of stuff. And I talked to Ben and Zach about this the other day at Casey's house. Like, I learned a lot from running trot lines and jug lines, catfishing, which I did forever growing up, about thermoclines, like stuff. It's very easy for people to go get the information now. But, you know, back then I didn't know what a thermocline was or anything. And, you know, I'd run in these trot lines at certain depths and the next day my catfish would be dead, you know, a certain depth, you know, and then on some jugs they'd be alive a certain height up, you know, and just stuff like that teaches you, like, oh man, a 60-pound blue cat will eat a bait a foot under the water in 35 foot of water because of a thermocline, you know.
That's and just insane.
Teaches you that there are actually other things that work than what you think in your head.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a perfect example of just on the water showing you what you need to know. And that's a lot of times why you professionally, or that is why you pros are, you have to be at the top of your game. You're out there all the time learning.
Yep.
Freaking learning it. Hey, there's two breeds of bass fishermen these days, I think. I don't know. There's two kinds. There's like, and then there's a combination. So there's an old school bass fisherman. And then there's the new school bass fishermen, the techies, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then there's a hybrid of both. And I think in order to be successful, you have to be a hybrid of both. But if you had to come up with a name for the old school bass fishermen on the tour, what would you call them? What would those be?
Oh man, I mean, nowadays they'd be the grinders.
The grinders, okay. Yeah. I like it.
They gotta be now because we gotta grind to get our paycheck
when everybody's out there. Okay, so going the old schools are kind of the grinders. And yeah, then
you gotta fish all day to get yours up shallow now.
Okay. and then you got the new school guys that are a little more electronics based. And what would you call them?
Those would be the those would be the catchers because they just catch all day.
Is catch all the catchers? So you got grinders and catchers.
They don't throw until they see one. So we got the grinder guys that, like me, that are just fishing blind and hoping we get lucky all day. And then you got the catchers, the Patrick Walters and the Takus and the Ben Millikins and Koyo Fujitas and stuff like that that aren't making a cast until they see.
Oh, well, look at, well, speaking of all that, I think we got, look at this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a catcher.
That's a catcher.
It's a catcher and a grinder. Bass Galaxy, say hello to Bassmaster Elite Series angler, Ben Millikin.
What's going on, gentlemen?
I thought it would.
What's up? So I just asked it. Did you hear what I just asked Lee? I said there's a old school and a new school.
Yeah, fantastic. I've been on since the start here. It's good to talk to you, Pat and Randy Livesey. Good to talk to you, bud.
Wow. And ladies and gentlemen, it's Zach Kinnard from Waterland Thunder. Hello, Zach.
What's going on, Pat? What's going on, Lee and Benjamin?
Zach, man, you look in better condition than the last time I saw you, dog.
That's very true. I'm just, you know, hey, Pat, I had to support your sponsor, Tin Cup, tonight, so I went and picked up a bottle.
Zach, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Well, and we're going to, so just for that, we're going to bring you some when I see you in Texas.
That'll work.
Well, guys,
How'd that tournament go at 5:30 after Casey's?
We didn't make it, okay? We didn't make it.
You overslept a little, Zach? You overslept, Zach?
Yeah, something like that, Pat.
Alarm didn't go off.
Yeah, let's just say Casey has a heavy hand pouring when he mixes drinks.
It was the phone's fault, Lee.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
No, he told me he said his Alexa, and his Alexa didn't go off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what it is.
That was daylight savings that night, I think. That's what it was. Yeah.
I knew it.
So Zach, what we have here is a couple of your Team Waterland guys that are both Bassmaster Elite Series anglers, and one is a grinder and one's a catcher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Benny's a catcher and Lee's a grinder.
I agree.
Yeah. Lee don't know nothing but grinding.
Yeah, he's a grinding machine, man. That's Mr. People's Champ right there. That's the everybody's hero, man. Lee's a grinder for sure. The way he came up and what he's done now with his career, it's awesome.
I told him Skinner wrote that song "Simple Man" about him.
For sure.
And Benny's a catcher. He's a 2024 Bassmaster Elite Series angler. We're proud of you, Ben. By the way, congratulations officially from Stray Cast in the Bass Galaxy, Paul. Heck yeah. Uh-oh, Ben cut out.
Yep, there you off.
You there, Ben? Where did he go?
I'm right here.
Okay, now we can hear you.
Okay, I went nowhere.
You stepped on your cord.
I have not moved besides taking drinks of my beer.
Okay. Well, congratulations, Ben.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And we're happy you're here, man. And this is a little Texas toast. As we might say here on Straightcast to Lee Livesey. And Lee, I think you remember last time you were on the show, and I know Benny, you hear every week here on Straightcast that we probe Ronnie Moore often. We probe him hard, and we probe him for information about Bassmaster Elite Series angler. And soon you'll be probed, Ben, by Ronnie Moore, but.
I'll be probed by Ronnie, or do I get to probe Ronnie myself?
I don't know. It's something about the freshman year thing. I don't know.
You'll
have to figure it out. But I know that you went on a reconnaissance mission and actually got some very interesting facts about your colleague here, and now your competitor.
That's right.
On the Bassmaster.
Industry secrets.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Like, you compiled some information, Ben, and quite frankly, these are some stats to behold. Okay. Some stats to behold. Now, Lee, get this. You have fished a total of, do you know how many BASS tournaments you fished, Lee? Do you have that number in your head?
Not even a clue.
Okay. 66 of them. All right. He ain't been around that long.
That's a lot of tournaments.
That's a lot of tournaments. He ain't been around that long.
That's a seasoned veteran these days.
Yeah. Benny, how many times did he cash out of those 66?
57 times.
57 times. That's a pretty good average. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. All right. Now get this. Lee, in your BASS career, you have caught 2,398 pounds of bass. It seems like a lot, don't it?
Yeah, that's a ton.
That's a ton. It's literally a ton. And in your short BASS career, you've won almost $1 million. You are at $810,356. Now, you like that, don't you, Zach? I can tell. Zach's excited. Now, Ben, this is the real stuff. Benny, give him the real facts. This is the stuff that matters. This is what's going to knock you off.
All right, so the average per pound, the average dollar amount, $337.92.
Dude, every pound of bass you catch in a dirt, $337.
That's pretty good. Pretty good for a grinder. He's just going to go out there and whip his little swim jig around. That's a lot. One out.
Yeah, skipping swim jigs and stuff. That sounds more like a catcher stat.
It does.
How much does he average per tournament, Benny?
So when Lee shows up and gets lucky, he averages $12,278 per derb.
Holy cow. That's a derber stat.
That's right.
Did you know you were that good, Lee?
I did not. I don't know if those are actually facts or Ben just wrote some shit down.
No, these are 100%. We promise these are factual. This is not fake news. We probed Ronnie Moore for this information, and that's pretty factual. That's good, dude.
It's good.
$237 a pound is what he was?
Benny? $337.
$337. And how much per derb?
12,278 bush lights. Dollars, I mean.
There it is.
What Lee, you've caught 2,398 pounds in your career of bass. How many bush lights do you think you drank in 4 years during that time period? Is it more or less than 2,398?
Oh, more easily.
No over under. He just went right for it.
Yeah, that's not even like close. This year.
Yeah, are you guys all stoked that the tour is starting in Texas this year? All three of you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Look at Benny's grinning. Lee's just back there silent but deadly, as usual. And Zach's happy because his teammates are close to home.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, and Ben, I think you know that your friend Lee, he's won at one of those lakes on the schedule a couple times.
I've heard that before, yeah. I'm just glad we don't got to go start at somewhere like the St. John's or Harris where, you know, Lee's going to be the type of guy where he's just going to show up at nowhere. 26 pounds is going to be living before he makes a cast. And I'm just a little, you know, amateur dude that's never been over there before yet. So
you're a freshman. A freshman, Ben.
Yeah, so Bass just lets Ben start where he just won an open by like 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Just mysteriously just happened.
That's what you get for probing Ronnie Moore. Maybe you should try it.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Zach and Lee, do you have any freshman hazing from Waterland coming up for Ben Milliken on the Bassmaster Elite Series? Is there any freshman hazing going to be happening? What's it going to be?
Definitely going to haze Jay Lee. I know he's not Waterland, but George Ben's good bigger for him. Ben's a big dude, so I'm not going to fuck with Ben.
Oh, okay. He's on your team, but you're not scared of Jay Lee.
No, Jay Lee's like there's some little dudes you got to worry about, like Paulinette, Chris Johnson, people like Clifford Perch. But like, yeah, I think I could take Jay Lee.
Now is Jay Lee maybe a freshman? Is he considered a freshman again? Yeah, he's a rookie again.
Re-rookied.
Oh wow, coming at it. So him and Ben Milliken are in the freshman year class.
Seems fair.
Hey Ben, you know who hates Grand Lake?
Where probably you guys are going? 2/3 of the field.
Well, especially Lee lives there. He told me before he can't stand the lake.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough, interesting tournament for sure. But I mean, I've been to two classics in Tulsa, and it's a great venue. So it's going to be a damn good time.
And Tulsa is a dang good time, and I can't wait to go to it. But Lee, I mean, come on, man. I mean, with that being said, a lot of people say when they don't like the lake, they end up doing good on it. You know, I mean, you've heard that, Ben. You've heard that, Zach.
Yeah.
I think it's setting up well for someone like Lee, too.
Oh,
it's a pattern. It's a pattern fishery. I think it could be a shallow water deal. I could definitely set up for you.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. It could be a good one.
Lee's a very modest guy. The actual term he told me the first time I met him, He was the first person I've ever heard say it. And he was like, man, I'm just a real fishy guy. You know, he's just a real fishy guy. He said it, and I knew exactly what he meant. It's like, hey, I tinker with baits. I do a lot of oddball shit, and I really just don't want to talk about it, you know? Like, real fishy guy.
He's just a fishy guy. Mm-hmm. I think all three of you guys are pretty fishy.
I'm nothing like these other two gentlemen on the other side of the screen, Pat. They're not even in the same damn lake compared to these two.
Well, I mean, you're ate up with it, though, Zach. You're ate up.
Every day. No, I'm definitely blessed and, you know, big advocate for the sport and, you know, the industry, all that it brings. But as far as my skills go, I mean, although I do want to say I probably took Lee on the best guided trip he's ever taken in his life on Lake Conroe a few weeks ago. So
it was amazing
for me.
It was just amazing. Really good.
It was a phenomenal day of bass fishing.
It was it was just pretty much what I didn't tell him is, hey, this is really going to be more like a boat test drive for you guys. And just, you know, kick back and enjoy. We're probably not going to be seeing many fish, but, we're going to go have fun. So
it was a much lighter Bush Light to pounds ratio on that one, it sounds like.
For sure.
It was 12 to nothing.
12 to zero to be exact.
Wow. That's a beatdown.
Yeah.
That's how many beers we drank and how many bass we got.
I was going to say the Bush Lights definitely could not have been zero.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Zach, so both of these guys, I mean, being Texas guys and going to the first two events on the Elite Series, who's your, out of these two Team Waterland guys, who's your pick for the first stop there?
Man,
In Manny.
For just between these two, who notches the other one?
So, I mean, you got the freshman coming in. And you got the seasoned veteran now, holder of four trophies. Who's going to finish higher at the Sam Rayburn?
I'm gonna give it to Lee Livesey because one, this is his world now, you know.
Okay.
Ben just made the jump. Okay.
Okay.
Now he's gotta come see phase two of this situation, okay, which is Lee and his boys. And you know, Ben and I, we've been down here long enough that I do think technically by, you know, Texas residents, we're considered the transplant Texans. But you know,
yeah, you're natives now.
Lee's born and raised Texas. So, I mean, that alone, right? This is his home territory to his core. So I got to give him the edge there. But I won't be surprised if it shakes out the other way. I know these two on the right are amazing, amazing anglers and true competitors, and they do it the right way. So I'm excited to watch them duke it out along with everyone else in the Elite Series on Team Waterland. It's going to be a great year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Toledo Ben next. Ben, you're no stranger to Toledo Ben, obviously. Lee's won a few times there, and
we're not starting at Rayburn. We're starting at Toledo Bend.
Yeah. Oh, is it Toledo first?
Yeah.
Oh, Toledo's first, and then Lake Fork.
Toledo, and then Fork.
Yeah. Sorry, I mixed it up in my head.
I'll take a win at Rayburn too.
Yeah, yeah. I mixed the whole deal up in my head. So Lake Fork.
Ben Milliken's gonna win Toledo Bend and Lake Fork.
Whoa!
And the whole world's going to die.
Sounds really easy, Lee. Thank you.
No life skill,
shouldn't be a problem.
His life scope off.
Yep.
Those are the ones where it's not permitted.
2D only.
So you're giving them both to Ben, Lee.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know why in my mind I was thinking Sam Rayburn.
That's that real fishy guy coming out, Pat.
Yeah. Yeah, I see.
There's Modest Lee coming out again.
Modest Lee. Yep.
No, I said I want the classic. You know, I'll give you the first two, and I want to win the classic.
You guys have had that convo?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Not really. Me and Ben talk about cooking 8 to 15 pound bass and drinking beer and cooking stripers. That's about it.
and classic versus blue trophies.
Yeah. Now, I think Ben will be really good at Toledo Ben. I think he'll be fishing on the right end. I think I'm going to fish on the wrong end to win, but have a shot to do good.
Yeah, I mean, and
that's going to be a cool tournament.
Yeah,
it's that could be. If we don't have bad weather, that's going to be like weight record potential, depending on how this winter goes down there.
I also think that that's a tournament where, kind of to the situation you and Lee were talking about earlier, Pat, with the live scope and how many tournaments Lee thought would be won on forward facing sonar, etc. Don't forget about, you know, the guys who finished in the spots ahead of Benjamin that qualified for the elites. I think that's a tournament that sets up for, you know, more added fuel to the age gap that people think is completely existent in bass fishing. So it's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. I think that it's just really unique and cool how it's set up, obviously, with, you know, Ben in his situation personally being the first tournament, rookie year on the series. But, you know, just overall for bass fishing period, I think they couldn't have picked a better leg for 2024 to start the series on.
Yeah, for real, man. I mean, and close to home, you guys all
love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're excited.
Hey, so Zach, tell me a little story about Lee that would describe Lee's personality, or describe Lee Livesey. Tell me a story about him.
Oh, you know what? This is again, we'll keep the theme going from the boy Lee right there with you know, old slick, real fishy guy, you know, and being real cryptic and modest. So he came down, like I mentioned, a couple weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, and, you know, came down to the Sixth Sense and Waterland headquarters, had a meeting with the team, all that good stuff. And, you know, we got a chance to sneak out to Lake Conroe, our local home lake, for the afternoon. And, you know, I'm picking up on some of the, I guess you'd say, maybe practical jokes and fun that Lee has with people. So it's about halfway through the day in the boat. We had our other pro staff team that is with team member with me, Cooper Thor. And yeah, he was running the trolling motor live scope, and I hear Lee kind of, you know, saying, "Hey, you up there giving us the live scope seminar, boss?" You know, kind of like I said, the Busch Lights won 12-0. Okay. So, you know, we get back to the ramp later that night and we're kind of standing around getting ready to go our separate ways, bullshitting, and I hear Lee finally say, "Hey man, Zach, is your live scope transducer, you know, you got that on there like that?" I was like, "What do you mean?" He said, "Coop, were you seeing the bait?" Coop said, "No, not really." Lee said, "Yeah, I think I know why, man. You might want to put that thing where it's supposed to be." And I sat there and laughed, and I thought, you know what? I bet he knew that shit the whole damn time.
Dang straight, he knew the whole time.
"You giving us a live scope seminar up there?" Again, you know? Cryptic, new. Hey, I gotta beat these boys, and they're probably gonna take me shallow. I don't need that shit. I ain't even gonna mess with it. So, you know, that's Lee.
That's Lee. That's
now, Lee. The best part was, it was like not even close. Great. It was like this.
It was cattywampus.
Well, I was thinking, shit, what are these dudes doing? You know, like, I didn't care. I was just in the back of the boat. Like Ben knows, I just get in the back of the boat and shut up when I fish with people. And, got done, I was like, "Zach, man, you that transducer cool up there, you know?" He was like, "Yeah, Josh Jones told me to do it like this." And I said, "Really?"
Yep.
He said, "Yeah,
Josh, obviously hit something at some point and not knowing it." But yeah, you know, again, like I said, Pat, not even nowhere near the caliber that these two are to the right. If I'm thankfully got in the boat that day, because now I know what the hell I'm doing and looking.
Yeah, now
at
you got your transducer
for forward facing sonar.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey Benny, you spent a lot of time in the boat with both of these guys. Give me a little story about Lito that might sum him up.
Yeah, I don't have a specific story that came to mind, but I have several kind of little tidbits. And when you say that Lee is a fishy guy, he is as fishy of a person as I've ever had on the boat with me. Because, I mean, we went on a West Texas trip and it was terrible. We had high aspirations and it turned into, we were trying to check new lakes for big bass and it wasn't happening. And so we ended up drinking all the beer in West Texas and trying to figure something out. But I was trying to scope fish in the front and Lee was like, "All right, well, if they're on that, then I'm just going to fire out of here and catch them on a swim bait." And he was just blind casting and catching them when you shouldn't have been able to. And so that opened my eyes. I'm like, yep, that's why Lee is where he's at. And then, I mean, thinking about some other things with Lee, since we started talking, I would text him, you know, be like, "How's practice going for this tournament, that tournament?" Cause I'm a nerd. I watch all the Elite Series tournaments forever. And it seems like every tournament he's like, yeah, it kind of sucks, but I'm finding a little spot, so I'll probably go catch 15 pounds. That'll be enough for a check because, 13 and a half a day will get a check, so I'll be right up there in the mix. And if he says he's going to catch 15 a day, you can look at the leaderboard the next day. He's going to have like 15 pounds and 3 ounces. And he just knows. It's and that blows me away every time. And one thing to kind of bring it back about Lee that, you know, we talk about him being the people's champ and everything and being humble and down to earth. We just had like a little get together, 3-4 hours from Lee's house down here in Houston for me making the Elite Series. And Lee and his family all showed up and surprised me at that party. Didn't have to be there or anything. And just they all showed up for it, stayed the night and stuff. So
that's a proper passing, man.
He's the real deal, man. And I appreciate him greatly.
We had a good time.
And I think it's awesome that you guys are competitors now. You know, your peers on the Elite Series. Pretty damn cool.
I just get to sit back in the shadows and listen to everybody talk shit about Ben because Ben's got all the targets on him, not me. So
they're after him, aren't they, Lee?
Oh, the world is, you know, and he likes it. That's what makes Ben. You know, he's getting that hate for a reason because he's good, obviously. So
and Lee just sits in the back of the boat and blind casts his swim bait and catches more. That's how it goes.
Here's the thing. Benny and Lee and Zach agree or disagree. He's a hybrid. He's a hybrid between a grinder and a catcher. So
Ben, yeah, Ben grew up in freaking sure. Nebraska. You can't.
I know he's a damn grinder.
There's nine bass in Nebraska, so I've caught all of them about 35, 40 times a year.
After Denny Brower caught them.
That's right. Yeah, is their offspring.
Yeah, offspring of Denny's bass. But exactly, I mean, it's a perfect guy. And I think it's cool that you two are going to be neck and neck at it. You're going to put some friendly wagers on anything? Bush Light?
Sure. Number of Bush Lights?
Deal.
Over and under. Benny, you're the first YouTuber to ever become an Elite Series angler. That's a pretty, like, it's like whoever thought that, like, when Ray Scott started bass, that he would say, the first YouTuber to become an Elite Series angler. I mean, it's just something unheard of, but it's historic.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. And I always, you know, I don't think of myself as a YouTuber, never really have since I, you know, fished tournaments for 10 years before I ever picked a camera up. But
I know that
got my career and everything going from the platform of YouTube and yeah, it's pretty wild. It's going to be an interesting journey with it.
And one of my favorite things about it, Ben, I'll just be honest, is it's kind of like you gave a big F you to anybody that thought that you couldn't do it. And I like that about you. You're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to work my ass off. I'm going to be a grinder. I'm going to be a catcher. I'm going to be a Bassmaster Elite Series angler. And you freaking did it, dude. That's
great. Yeah, I appreciate awesome. That. Yeah.
That's that mob.
And then bass dictated energy, right?
It is, man. It is. And I look forward to Toledo, man. I look forward to the first step. Hey,
Ben's a fishy dude.
Yeah, he's a fishy dude, too. So is Zach, though. Zach's a catcher, too.
And the first time that me and Ben went on the West Texas ramp, I think that was the first time we fished, right? When we went to...
Yeah, it had to be. Yeah.
So all the haters that are my friends of Ben Milliken, they all saw it and called me like, what, you know, what the fuck is he like? You know, is he cool? Is he, could he fish? Is he just a stock? And I was like, no, this dude can fish. You know, it didn't... And we didn't catch a lot, but you can tell when you're around.
He's not a catcher.
Not a complete catcher hasn't turned yet, man.
Hey, yeah. It wasn't that bad of a trip. We did catch a couple freaking 9-pounders. It wasn't like we did. Yeah.
Little ones.
We should have just went to jail for where we were catching them.
True. Yeah. I mean, that was required.
I'll take a 9-pounder any trip.
Well, yeah, exactly. Thanks, Zach. I live in the armpit of the nation for bass fishing, and we get excited about 2.5-pounders. Let me give you a perfect example of an insult. I was talking to Seth on the phone this morning. He said, "Yeah, you know that BFS stuff, bait finesse tackle you've been reading about. That's probably perfect for the size bass you catch, Pat. And it's like, wow. What are you gonna do with that one? And he's right, you know, a bunch of But hey man, guys, it's been fun tonight, and I if you can't tell, I kind of got a fever. I'm not feeling well, guys, and it's kind of smacking me, but I'm still thanks for cheering me up a little bit tonight.
Yeah. Glad you had us, Pat.
Yeah, dude. And Zach, thank you for everything you do for the Stray Cast show. We appreciate you, man, over here. And we enjoy throwing shade with Waterland 100%. It's our favorite.
I like that. We appreciate everything you guys do, you know, for us, and keep doing it, man. You guys are awesome over here.
Thanks,
man. It's an exciting year. I think we're going to have, I was at the office today. We talked about it. I think 18 pros were in Waterlands this year. So
is that right? Yeah. And that's Elite Series anglers.
Elite Series guys. Yep.
18 Elite Series anglers with Team Waterland. Awesome.
Correct. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
It's awesome to see that people are starting to understand they're very, very good glasses and people should check us out.
Yeah. I mean, and again, this isn't a Waterland commercial, but like I have odd eyes. All right. And the Waterland's the first glasses that don't give me a headache, man. I'm just being honest. I could wear the things all day and I don't get a headache with them. So let's see. I like them. With that being said, hey, let's give away some Waterlands. Let's give away an Impulse Lithium swag bag. And I'm going to give away a couple tin cups. What do you think? What do you think like we it. Do it now? Gingy, you want to send Lee the Impulse Lithium swag bag from Darlene and Bill. Send Benny. Who do you want to send? You want to send Benny or Zach? Zach, you read it. You want to read it or Benny?
I can read it.
You read it. You got it?
Am I looking in the chat?
Wait, hold on a second.
No, Ginge will send it to you.
Yeah, Ginge is going to send it to you.
I got mine.
You got yours, Lee? All right. Yeah. The official Impulse Lithium swag bag pack, courtesy of Bill and Darlene Weidler from Impulse. Winner is Hooley.
It is Cody Holcomb.
Cody Holcomb.
Cody Holcomb.
Heck yeah.
Congrats, man.
There it is.
Impulse Lithium swag bag.
Heck yeah, man. I was going to be all kinds of.
They should send him a couple batteries, too.
Look at you, Lee.
They're light enough. You could ship them nice and cheap.
You wouldn't even know. I mean, just pick them up. It's just like that. Even to work out. Thanks, Bill and Darlene, for that. All you got to do is direct message Rock and Shoal Fantasy at the Straight Cast Facebook page. All right. Now, Zach, who are we doing the Waterland sunglasses giveaway?
They are going to Jared Holmes.
Jared Holmes, you are the winner of the Waterland. What pair are we giving away? You know?
Gotta be the Millikens.
We can give Jared whatever pair he wants.
Gosh dang, it's that kind of party, huh?
You know, we can make that.
Now Benny, you and I are gonna give away the tin cup.
All right.
Yeah, we're giving away a couple of tin cups. And just for that, Ben, we're gonna send you an official welcome to the Elite Series tin cup to drink your coffee out of in the morning.
Deal.
And Zach, you get one, and Lee, you get one too. Every guest going forward on Straight Cast Show gets one of these. So.
Well, thank you.
Yes, tin cup from tin cup.
A tin cup from tin cup, and this is a cool name. The winner is Craig Kincaid. Craig Kincaid won, Ben Milliken.
All right, Craig.
Yeah, it sounds like a private investigator, doesn't it, Craig
Kincaid? Yeah, it's a little sketchy.
It's a little bit
sounds sketchy. A little bit fishy to me.
Like we all are.
That's right.
The amazingly fishy Lee lives. There it is. Hey Lee, thanks for coming on the show again, dude. We appreciate you coming on. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, I had a great time. I want to know if Ben's tired of doing podcasts.
He's been on a lot of podcasts lately.
I feel like he's been on 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
I've been sitting here in this hoodie, in this hat with my earbuds in with the light on for like 2 months straight. I haven't even gotten up.
If you pod too much, you'll go blind.
Is that what they said? I heard something else, but I guess podcasting too.
Yes. That's why we do less shows, because if you pod too much, you go blind.
Okay.
Yes.
I like it.
He's just podding off all the time. while Ben's doing podding the heck off.
It's actually a hologram of myself at this point. It's not even me sitting here.
It's you and Michael Jackson doing podcasts together right now as holograms at halftime shows. Yeah. I am with fever. I must leave.
Take care of yourself, Pat.
Hey, I'm gonna rest up. We're back next week with the folks from BASS in a very sneaky special feature guest. So anyway, Zach, thank you so much, Benny. Best of luck on the series this year.
Thank you. Gonna need it.
Appreciate you guys as well, Pat.
And Champ, you're the best, dude. Thanks again. Stay proper AF.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, boy. There it is. Heck yeah. That's been the Texas Toast to Lee Livesey. Gingy, what do you say? Where's Gingy? Where's the Gingy Ninja? He's there. Let's say we take these power poles up.
Ready?
And we just sail on away, Andrew. What do you think? The thin raft that we ride continue next week. Same three times, same straight channel. Ginger Ninja Production. I'm Pat Remwick. Bid you peace. Peace. I bid you. Good night, Bass Galaxy. Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. No, just kidding. This is Pat. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to StrayCast on iTunes and leave a review. Tell us what you think. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening. Peace.